We'll be looking at Mark 13, verses 32 through 37. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Watch. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Jesus Christ is coming, but no one knows when that event will take place. When Jesus gave his men this prophecy, he told them that even he didn't know the hour of his own return. The point that Christ is making is that it is foolish to try and set dates concerning the Lord's return. And yet, people do it all the time. There was one Nassau worker who wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return, in 1988. He predicted that Christ would return on either September 11th, 12th, or 13th. When the Lord didn't return in 1988, he wrote a new book that declared that the Lord would return in 1989. He didn't come then either. And many such books have been written, and Christ still hasn't come, because no one knows the time when the Lord will return. There's no point in speculating about it. There is no point. Christ has plainly told us that. But Christ has told us that he is coming again. We don't know the day or the hour. You can maybe have a general idea of the times, but no one knows the day or the hour. Christ is coming. He's coming again. It plainly tells us in verse 26 of Mark 13. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. That is guaranteed. That we can know. That we don't have to speculate about. The Lord doesn't want us speculating. He wants us to simply believe what he has promised. I don't have to speculate when I read John 14, verses 1 to 3. I take it at face value and believe it. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Christ speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, I don't have to speculate that. I don't have to take out some kind of prophecy charts and connect all the dots. I don't have to be reading the newspapers to wonder if this is taking place and has the other thing taken place yet. All I have to do is go and watch and pray, because the Lord has told me that he has gone to prepare a place for me, and where he is, I will be. He's going to come again. I will come again. Now, this is a man that died 2,000 years ago. How could he make such a prediction unless he knew he would be raised from the dead? We don't have to speculate. The question is, are you ready for the event of his coming? Are you ready for the second coming? There'll be no sign in particular even though somebody's prophecy system may teach you that. But he has promised that he is going to come again, and for us to watch and to pray. No one knows the day or the hour. The only one who knows the timing of the Lord's coming is the one who planned his coming. And the scripture is quite clear. The Father. The Father is the one that knows. So don't be chasing all of these people with all of these books that know the day and the hour and saying, it's us, it's us. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. What are we to do? Verse 33, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Everybody is wrapped up in what the time is, what are the circumstances, what is the world going to be like, as opposed to simply take the scripture, take heed, watch, and pray. But I think far too often that's far too simple for us. And it's far too to the point. Take heed, watch, and pray. Is the, maybe that is the problem why we go down these rabbit trails of all these different prophecies and everything? Because we don't want to take heed, we don't want to watch, and we don't want to pray. That we can all agree on, the text is simply teaching. Take heed, watch, and pray. Watch and pray, for only the Father knows the day and the hour. And maybe God keeps this secret because he doesn't want people to get caught up in end times frenzy. And you go to a store, a bookstore, and there's all kind of prophecy books. Every kind of system that you can watch. Here's a prophecy. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. All right? How about we go with that system? There's the Bopa system. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Alright? He said he's coming. He's coming, the Son of Man coming in the clouds, great power and glory. He is coming. Maybe God wants us to not be caught up. He doesn't want us to be caught up. He wants us to look for him every day. And he wants us to live for him every day. He wants us to live like he might return at any moment and work like he's never coming back. And I said, I'm not saying it is the case, but could it be the case that many of these prophecy systems are so attractive to people because they don't want to do that? They don't want to take heed and watch and pray. God will not put a commercial on television to let people know that the end is near. He's not going to take a full-page ad out in the New York Times or the Washington Post. He's not going to announce it on the radio. He's not going to drop flyers from the heavens. He's not going to announce it on the internet. We have the only warning that we're going to get. The word of God is clear. You do not want to know what prophecy teaches? Jesus is coming. He's coming. Coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. There you go. In light of that, take heed, watch, and pray. Watch and pray. The end times is one day closer than the last message I did. We have to realize the seriousness of his coming. As I said, the world is spinning so fast. The information is coming forth so fast. People are running to and fro so fast that I fear that verse 33 of our text is not given too much attention. Verse 33 of Mark 13, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. The question is, where do you find yourself today? Are you taking heed? Are you watching? Are you praying? See, this section that I've been in for the last couple of studies in Mark 13, we spoke about prophecy and end times and this system of prophecy and that system of prophecy. But one thing is clear beyond a shadow of a doubt, besides the fact that he's coming in the clouds. In verses 33 through 37, the word watch appears three times. Three times. If the Lord's telling you something three times in a few verses, the same word is being used. He wants his people to be on the alert. He wants them to be paying attention. We're to live every moment in anticipation of his return. See, sometimes you get caught up in these prophecy systems. And, I'm looking for this to take place in Israel. I'm looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for 12 European nations or 10 European nations and three rising up and three going down. And the Antichrist is this person. And they're building the temple and there's red heifers and all of this stuff. Well, he has come already and the prophecy is fulfilled in 70 A.D. and it just goes on and on and on. As opposed to the Lord's telling us, take heed, watch and pray. You don't know the hour. You don't know the day. We're to live in anticipation. We're to watch. We're to keep awake. We're to be attentive. We're to be ready. We're to be watchmen who dare not fall asleep while on duty. I was in the military. That was the worst thing you could do is to fall asleep on duty. In the times of the Romans, you fell asleep on duty, they put you to death. That was your last sleep. We're to be watchmen. We're to be watching. For the Lord is coming. And we're caught up in everything but watching and praying and taking heed. The question is, do you find yourself that way? Taking heed, watching and praying. I mean, is that what you characterize as your life? Are you taking heed today? And are you watching? Are you praying? Taking heed. You're taking heed to the word that you're hearing. You're watching. You're praying. For you don't know what time he's coming back. Jesus is coming. We need to be alert. Our enemies are seeking to destroy us. Our enemies are infiltrating the church. One false doctrine after another. One compromise after the other. Constantly looking to turn us from the old paths. Even you hear a message like this. Somebody say, well, that's not grace. You're telling us to work. No, those that are saved by grace, take heed, they watch and they pray because they've been regenerated. And the Holy Spirit indwells them now and causes them to walk this way, to take heed, to watch, to pray. Oh, Bill, that's too severe. Come on, you got to lighten up a little bit. You got to learn to live a little bit. Christ is coming. We can't be lulled to sleep. The world is seeking to grab your attention, to captivate it with its treasures, to captivate us with its treasures. This is what you need to pursue. No, we're to watch and pray and to take heed. That's what you should be pursuing. What is the Lord's will for me? Take heed. Watch. Pray. Are you doing those things? Praying. Satan wants to lull us to sleep by telling us that we have plenty of time. And I'm being a watchman on the wall saying, we're one day closer. I can't tell you the day or the hour or tell you who the Antichrist is, but I can tell you he's coming again. And he tells us to take heed, to watch, and to pray. Verse 34. Jesus describes himself as a house owner who leaves his business in the hands of his servants. Look at verse 34. It's like a man of Mark 13. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. The house owner leaves his business in the hands of his servants. The man assigns each of his servants a specific task. And then he takes his journey. The servants do not know when the master will return. But as I said, we're so busy worried about when he's going to return that we're not taking heed and watching and praying. The man assigns the task. We don't know when he's coming. We encourage to work diligently so that we will not be found shirking our duty, sleeping when the master comes back. When Jesus saved us, he saved us to work for him. He saved us to work for him. Because you're saved by grace doesn't mean that you don't work. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Those that are saved by grace will work unbelievably. Look at the Apostle Paul. Greatest expounder of grace the world has ever known. Talked about grace more than anybody. And he also wrote Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Speaking of the Father, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You've been created for good works. You haven't been created to be on a party plan and accumulate everything you can on this earth. You've been created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before you were ever created, God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We should be taking heed. We should be watching. We should be praying. That's what the book of James is all about. People are saying, oh, well, you're saved by faith. You're saved by works. You're saved by grace. You're saved. James is not written to puzzle us. He's saying saving faith produces works. James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. We should be working. Not to earn salvation, but we should be working because we have salvation. Because God has prepared these works beforehand for us. And he's prepared works for every one of us. Don't think that, oh, well, I don't know what my part is. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:7 to 11 to see maybe if your part is mentioned in there. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. All right? For the profit of all. For the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts to each and every one of us to work until the Lord comes back. He's put us to work in his field. He's gone to a far country. He's given authority to the servants to work, and he's commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. Let me ask you a question. Do you give that much thought? Jesus Christ is coming. How much thought do you give that? You know the answer to that. Right now, you're probably going, I can't believe that dude asked that question. But it is the truth. Ask yourself that question. Jesus gave you a job to do, and he gave me a job to do. Our duty to him is to faithfully do those things that he's called us to do until he comes for us. Are you doing what you've been called to do? Or are you spending your time running away from what you're supposed to do? Make excuses of why you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Do you know what the Lord wants you to do? Are you doing what he wants you to do? Are you willing to ask him if you don't know? See? Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is near. Take heed, watch, and pray. Does that characterize your life? And if not, it's supposed to. I didn't see no exceptions, and it doesn't say, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is, Bill. Bill Posh, you don't need to take heed, watch, and pray for you. You're a special individual. That doesn't include you. It's not what my Bible says. But look at verse 37 of the text, the last verse of Mark 13. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. That's pretty to the point. I think that includes everybody. And what I say to you, I say to all. Christ spoke those words to the disciples in the first century, and he speaks those words to us in the 21st century. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Jesus is making these verses very personal. Very personal. He's speaking to every individual who has ever lived, who has ever been regenerated. He's calling upon every person who reads these words to look at themselves in light of his coming. That includes all of us, brothers and sisters. And if you are outside of Jesus Christ, that's an impossibility for you. Nor would it even be your desire to. You have to be a child of God for it to be your desire to take heed, to watch and pray. Only children of God can do that. And there's children of God that are doing that to the best of their ability. And there's children of God that are running from doing it. Shirking their duties like if they were children. Children like to shirk their duties. Like to ignore their duties. They want to get away from cleaning dishes, mowing the lawn, being faithful at this, doing this, that, and the other thing. That's the way children behave. And I fear that many Christians are immature today and acting like children and not taking heed and watching and praying. That's the call in all of our lives, brothers and sisters. There's no way around that. Nor should you want to get around that. You should so love Christ that when he says something, that out of gratitude for what he's done for you, you say, yes, Lord. And we struggle with that all the time. I'm saved over 30 years. I struggle with that. Take heed, watch, pray. Serious business. I'm 60-something years old. I still, when I read that 30-something years ago when I became a Christian, still the same. I wasn't able to retire from being a Christian and working. Well, take heed, watch, pray. That's what we're called to do. What can we take away from all of this, from this Mark 13, what can we take away? That Jesus Christ is coming. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Take heed, watch and pray. I say to all, watch. I say to all, watch. Are you ready? He's coming. Will it be watching? Will it be working? Will the message at the door? I don't know where a message finds you today, such as this. I don't know if you've ever trusted Christ as your Savior. But I know that you could come then today if you're not a child of God. If you never repented and believed, if you still stand condemned, I would admonish you today to come to Jesus Christ? He has commanded all to come. Come to him for salvation. Whosoever will come, he will in no wise cast out. Come today if you're not a child of God. If you're a child of God, take time. Take heed. Watch. Pray. Seriously take these words to heart. Don't just come to the end of this message and go, ho, hum, another message, another call to duty. In the military, brothers and sisters, there's no getting out. You get out when he comes. That's when it's over. You don't get out. You don't get out at 20 years old. You don't get out at 80 years old. See, I don't read the text. I open it up. I can't say, well, you know, I'm 80 years old. I can't take heed, watch, and pray no more. I'm 70. I'm 60. I can't do that. I'm 20. I'm 30. I'm married. I got children. I got to go to work. Take heed. Watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. You do not know when the time is. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch.